VOA1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, Dan Friedel and Jill Robbins tell us how Americans are expanding their food preferences. Faith Perlow answers a vocabulary question from an English learner in China. We close the show by hearing the American story, Transience in Arcadia. But first,
researchers who follow trends say more people in the U.S. are interested in bold food tastes than ever before. That means an increasing number of Americans enjoy foods from Mexico and Asia, while Italian foods like pizza and pasta are not as popular. Pizza and pasta are still the most popular foods among Americans of all ages, but they have dropped in the opinions of younger people. Mike Costio is an analyst at Data Central, a research company in Chicago, Illinois. He works to identify new things that are becoming popular. People who want to go into the restaurant business are his customers. In the past, he said, it was easy to suggest that customers open a restaurant that served Italian food. But now, he said, the choice might not be so easy. As a new generation of Americans starts spending money at restaurants, they are choosing Mexican and Asian foods.
Data Central's latest food report shows that Americans aged 27 to 42 often choose Mexican food over Italian when they are thinking of going out to eat. Those who are even younger, in Gen Z, like Mexican food the most. Those in Gen Z are younger than 23. That means if you visit the U.S., you may start seeing more places to buy foods like tacos than pizza or lasagna.
Before, you know, if you were opening kind of a classic, everybody loves it, restaurant, it would have been a pizza operation. I think in the future it's going to be a taco operation.
Costio noted that among all Americans, Italian food still holds the top spot. The baby boomer generation still likes Italian food. Baby boomers are between 57 and 75 years old. But Mexican food and Asian food, such as ramen noodles from Japan, are rising fast. He said many young Americans are influenced by what they see on social media services, such as Instagram. People often take photos of their food and share them with friends. Costio recommends that a business person who wants to open a restaurant near a college or university should think about a place that serves tacos instead of one that serves pizza. The researchers note that more Americans like the taste of foods from Asia and Latin America than ever before. That is because the number of people in the U.S. from Asia and Latin America is larger than in the past. The 2020 census showed the Latino population grew by 23% in only 10 years. Asians make up over 6% of the U.S. population. Costio said many Americans have neighbors or friends from Asia or Latin America, so they might be introduced to these new foods more often. The change from Italian food to Mexican food, Costio noted, came much faster than he expected. This is the first time we have ever seen this change happen in a generation, he said. Castillo noted that American tastes are changing. In the past, many Americans were not comfortable with spicy foods. Every year, their capacity for bold flavors increases, so I think that's also driving some of these changes as well. Asian food from places like China, Japan, and Thailand is known for bold flavors. And a recent report from the Pew Research Center shows Asian food trends.
Sono Shah helped write the Pew Report. It said that 71% of Asian restaurants in the U.S. serve foods from either China, Japan, or Thailand. People from those countries make up only 33% of the U.S. Asian population. Chinese restaurants were the most popular, so they're found in every state, Shah said. He added that every state has at least one Japanese or Thai restaurant. Chinese food, he said, has been in the U.S. for a long time. Japanese restaurants have increased because of the popularity of sushi, an uncooked fish dish. But there are many more Thai restaurants compared to the number of Thai people in the U.S.
11% of all Asian restaurants are Thai. In the piece we mentioned, the Thai government has sponsored programs abroad to kind of increase the number of Thai restaurants throughout the world as a form of diplomacy.
Shah said many people first experience a culture through its food. So if people like Thai food, they might gain a favorable opinion of Thailand. While you may find more Asian restaurants in the U.S., than in the past, it is worth noting that they are centered in cities and states where a lot of Asian people live. So about 45% of all Asian restaurants are in California, New York, Texas, New Jersey, and Washington. One final finding about the food interests of Americans: they may fall back on what they see as traditional or comfort foods in difficult times. While Castillo found that young people are interested in trying different foods than their parents, many chose Italian food when asked what would they eat if they could only eat one kind of food for the rest of their lives. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
We will hear this week's Ask a Teacher, presented by Faith Perlow. Faith joins me now to talk a bit about today's question. Hi, Faith. Welcome back.
Hi, Ashley. It's great to be here with you.
So, what is today's Ask a Teacher topic?
Today, we are answering a question from Bear in China about the difference between the words finish and complete. What is something that you've recently completed or finished, Ashley?
I recently finished a book by one of my favorite mystery writers, Tana French. Her books are always hard to put down, so they do not take long to get through. What about you, Faith?
I feel like I always start little projects, but never end up completing them. I recently finished setting up my guinea pig's cage, but I have not completed the process of moving them out of the old cages and into the new ones. Is there something that you have started but have not finished yet? Or are you pretty good with following through on projects?
You know, I definitely have trouble finishing some projects, especially if they involve cleaning or organizing. So I have started organizing my bedroom, but I have not finished. It is not even close to being complete.
Also, books. I have a habit of starting to read books, but not finishing them. I have finished one book in the Outlander series, but there are 7 more books in that entire series. So I doubt I'm going to complete it anytime soon.
Thanks for sharing a little bit about this week's lesson, Faith. Now let's listen to Ask a Teacher.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question about the difference between finish and complete. Hello, VOA Learning English. My name is Bear Wong, and I am from China. I have a question. What is the difference between finish and complete? Looking forward to your reply. Thanks, Bear. Thank you for this great question, Bear. Both words share a similar meaning of coming to an end, but there are small differences in their meanings as verbs. They can be used as different parts of speech. We often use them in different situations. Let's look at the differences more closely. Finish as a verb means to come to an end or close. We can use it with or without a direct object. The school day finishes at 3 in the afternoon. No direct object. We finished dinner, then watched a movie before going to bed. With a direct object. Finish can also mean the final ranking of teams or players in a competition. The basketball team finished 2nd in the state championship. Another meaning of finish as a verb is to defeat, ruin, or even kill. The criminal charges finished his hopes of a political career. In the video game Mortal Kombat, players can perform a kill action to finish off their opponent. The word finish can also be a noun that means something that perfects or completes, such as the appearance of the surface of a material. Finish can even be used to describe the taste of a drink or food in the mouth. His house has many well-made finishes, like its marble countertops and hardwood floors. The finish of the wine is fruity and fresh. Let's move on to complete. Complete as a verb has a similar meaning to finish, but instead of just to end, it means finish making or doing something in its entirety. We can use it with a direct object. She completed her bachelor's degree last May. Caitlin completed reading the series of over 12 books. Complete also means to make something perfect or whole. The shoes complete Daria's outfit for her brother's wedding. The band completed their final set with one of their most popular songs. As a verb, complete means to fill in all the questions on a form. The doctor reminded the patient to complete both sides of the health history form. And lastly, complete can be used as an adjective. It has several meanings as this part of speech. It can mean having all steps or parts. It can mean total, thorough, or whole. And complete can also signify that something has ended or finished. The writing assignment is not complete until you return the 2nd draft to your teacher with corrections. Her day always feels complete after she reads a book in bed. Please let us know if these explanations and examples have helped you, Bear. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Next, we present the short story, Transience in Arcadia, by the American writer O. Henry.
Transience in Arcadia. There is a certain hotel on Broadway that is very pleasant in the summer. Not many people have heard about it. It is wide and cool. Its rooms have walls of dark wood. There are green trees around it and soft winds. It has all the pleasures of mountain living and none of the pains. You will eat better fish there than you could catch for yourself in the streams and hills. You will have better meat than a hunter brings home from the forest. A few have discovered this cool spot in the hot summer of New York. You will see these few guests eating dinner in the hotel restaurant. They are happy to be there, and happy to know that they are very few. They feel especially wise because they have found this delightful place. More waiters than necessary are always near. They bring what is wanted before anyone asks for it. The pleasing distant noise of Broadway sounds like running water in a forest. At every strange footstep, the guests turn quickly and look. They are afraid that the restless pleasure seekers will find their hotel and destroy its pleasant quiet. And so these few live during the hot season. They enjoy the delights of mountain and seashore. All is brought to them in their Broadway hotel. This summer, a lady came to the hotel giving this name.
Madame Louise d'Arcy Beaumont.
The name was like a name in the story of a great romance. And Madame Beaumont was the kind of lady the Hotel Lotus loved. She was beautiful, and her manner was very fine. Everyone wished to serve her. The other guests believed that, as a guest, she was perfection. This perfect guest did not often leave the hotel. In this, she was like the other guests of the Hotel Lotus. To enjoy that hotel, one needed to forget the city. New York might have been miles away. At night, sometimes one might go out, but during the hot day, one remained in the cool shade of the Lotus. Madame was alone in the Hotel Lotus. She was alone as a queen is alone because of her high position. She rose from bed late in the morning. She was then a sweet, soft person who seemed to shine quietly. But at dinner she was different. She would wear a beautiful dress. I cannot find words fine enough to tell about it. Always there were red flowers at her shoulder. When the head waiter saw a dress like this, he met it at the door. You thought of Paris when you saw it, and of the theatre, and of old romances. A story about Madame Beaumont was told among the guests in the Hotel Lotus. It was said that she was a woman who had travelled all over the world. It was said that she knew the most important people everywhere. It was said that in her white hands she held the future of certain nations. It was no surprise, they said, that such a lady should choose the Hotel Lotus. It was the most desirable and the most restful place in America during the heat of summer. On the third day of Madame Beaumont's stay in the hotel, a young man entered as a guest. His clothes were quiet, but good. His face was pleasant. His expression was that of a man who had travelled and could understand the world. He said that he would remain 3 or 4 days. He asked about the sailing of certain ships. He seemed to like this hotel the best of all he had known. The young man put his name down on the list of hotel guests. Harold Farrington. It was a name with a fine sound, and the young man belonged perfectly in the quiet life of the Lotus. In one day he became like all the other guests. Like them, he had his table and his waiter. He also had the same fear that the wrong people might suddenly discover this hotel and destroy its peace. After dinner on the next day, Madame Beaumont dropped something as she passed Harold Farrington's table. He picked it up and, following her, returned it. He spoke only a few quiet words as he did this, and she was pleased by his good manners. She knew that he was a gentleman. Guests of the Lotus seemed to understand each other very easily. Perhaps it was the result of having discovered this Broadway hotel. Guests felt sure that only especially fine people would enjoy the cool delights of the Lotus. Now, very quickly, a sudden friendship grew between Farrington and Madame Beaumont. They stood and talked for a few moments.
"I have seen too much of the usual summer hotels," said Madame Beaumont, with a small but sweet smile. "Why go to the mountains or the seashore? We cannot escape noise and dust there. The people who make noise and dust follow us there."
"Even on the ocean," said Farrington sadly. "Those same people are all around us. What shall we do when they discover the Lotus?"
"I hope they don't discover the Lotus this week," said Madame. "I only know one other place I like as well. It is the beautiful home of a prince in the mountains in Europe."
"The best people," said Farrington, "are seeking for the quiet places like this one, where they can escape the crowds."
"I promise myself 3 more days of this delightful rest," said Madame Beaumont. "The next day, my ship sails."
Harold Farrington's eyes showed that he was sorry. "I too must leave then," he said. "But I am not sailing for Europe."
"We cannot stay here forever, though it is so delightful," said Madame Beaumont. "I like it better than my usual life, which is too full of people. I shall never forget my week in the Hotel Lotus."
"Nor shall I," said Farrington in a low voice. "And I shall never like the ship that carries you away." On their last evening, the two sat together at a little table. A waiter brought them something cool to eat. Madame Beaumont was wearing the same beautiful dress. She seemed thoughtful. When she had finished eating, she took out $1.
"Mr. Farrington,"
she said with a smile that everyone in the Lotus loved,
"I want to tell you something. I am going to leave early tomorrow morning because I must go back to work. I work selling women's clothes at Casey's shop." That dollar is all the money I have. I won't have any more till I get paid at the end of the week. You're a real gentleman, and you've been good to me. I wanted to tell you before I went. For a year, I've been planning to come here. Each week, I put aside a little of my pay so I would have enough money. I wanted to live one week like a rich lady. I wanted to get up in the morning when I wished. I wanted to be served by waiters. I wanted to have the best of everything. Now I've done it. And I've been happier than I ever was before. And now, I'm going back to work. I wanted to tell you about it, Mr. Farrington, because I thought you liked me, and I liked you. This week I've told you many things that weren't true. I told you things I've read about. They never happened to me. I've been living in a story. It wasn't real. I wanted you to think I was a great lady. This dress I'm wearing, it's the only pretty dress I own. I haven't paid for it yet. I'm paying for it a little at a time. The price was $75. It was made for me at O'Dowd and Levinsky's shop. I paid $10 first, and now I have to pay $1 a week until it's all paid. And that's all I have to say, Mr. Farrington. Except that my name is Mamie Siviter, and not Madame Beaumont. Thank you for listening to me. This dollar is the dollar I'm going to pay for my dress tomorrow. And now, I'll go up to my room.
As Harold Farrington listened, his face had not changed. When she had finished, he took out a small book and began to write in it. Then he pulled out the small page with his writing on it and gave it to her, and he took the dollar from her hand. "I go to work, too, tomorrow morning," he said, "and I decided to begin now. That paper says you've paid your dollar for this week. I've been working for O'Dowd and Levinsky for 3 years. Strange, isn't it? We both had the same idea. I always wanted to stay at a good hotel. I get $20 a week. Like you, I put aside a little money at a time until I had enough. Listen, Mamie, will you go to the pleasure park on Coney Island with me on payday?" The girl who had been Madame Eloise d'Arcy Beaumont smiled.
"I'd love to go, Mr. Farrington. Coney will be all right. Although, we did live with rich people for a week."
They could hear the night noises of the hot city. Inside the Hotel Lotus, it was cool. The waiter stood near, ready to get anything they asked for. Madame Beaumont started up to her room for the last time. And he said, "Forget that Harold Farrington, will you? McManus is the name. James McManus. Some call me Jimmy."
"Good night, Jimmy,"
said Madame.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.